Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Here's a surveillance story. Farmers use most of the water in drought emergency California by far. And yet, as citizens and residential water users are being asked to watch every drop to reduce usage, and the conspicuous watering of lawns is seen as an insult to one's neighbors, farmers apparently have no interest in even having the state measure their water usage. An investigation by the Center for Investigative Reporting finds that the tepid efforts by the state to make water use by farmers more transparent has been met with stiff resistance or flagrant noncompliance. Investigator Catherine Miskowski says that California agribusiness is a powerful special interest and that farmers have almost no incentive to conserve. She's a senior reporter covering food and water at the Center for Investigative Reporting. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start first by explaining the special status of farmers and agricultural interests in regard to access to water and how the law was designed.
Well, there are two new laws that we looked at, and they're supposed to give the state a better picture of how water is being used by agriculture. Right now, agriculture uses about 80% of the water that humans use in California, but the state doesn't have a very good picture of, you know, who that water is going to and where exactly it's going in the state. So the first law was supposed to have agricultural water suppliers tell the state exactly just how much water are they delivering to farms each year. And that report was due 10 months ago, and only about 20% of these water suppliers have turned it in.
And essentially, agriculture gets to use water without a meter, right?
That's right. And in some parts of the state that are very dry, farmers have long been metered. But in other parts of the state that have traditionally had more access to water, they just, you know, pump it out of the river, send it through a canal, and send it on to the farmer. So they haven't kept a very good track of that. And what the second law we looked at attempts to do is to get those large agricultural water suppliers to get a more precise measurement of how much water they're sending to these farmers and then bill the farmers on that basis.
This is something of an honor system as described by Earl Donatsky, who's manager of the Tule Lake Irrigation District, that farmers are basically, you know, voluntarily doing this, and he claims at least have the best interests of the state at heart.
Farmers up here don't apply any more water than is absolutely necessary to raise a crop to start with. Too much water will damage the crop, so they're very careful on what they apply.
In your investigation, are they careful?
In Tule Lake, they just charge the farmers based on their acreage for their water, and they only pay for their water once a year. So, you know, it's kind of economics 101 that if they had to pay for the amount of water they used, the state is hopeful that then they would actually attempt to use less. And, you know, Donatsky argues that he doesn't think that the new rules will save one drop of water, and frankly, he's not planning on complying with them. That district has no plans to start charging farmers based on how much water they actually use.
Why, Catherine, can he maintain this in the middle of a drought emergency?
You know, that's an excellent point, and that's a great irony. I mean, farmers are on the front lines of the drought, but, you know, here what we uncovered is that their water suppliers are not complying with these state conservation laws.
Is part of this philosophical in the sense that farmers like Fritz Durst, who's up in the Sacramento River Valley, don't like any sort of state control and view it as a kind of a, you know, lumping together of all farmers? Listen.
My opinion is not favorable. It's a one-size-fits-all for the state, and for us, it didn't fit.
How did it not fit in the Sacramento River Valley?
Yeah, Fritz Durst is a really interesting example. He's a rice farmer, and in his district, the water is pumped right out of the Sacramento River, sent through a maze of canals across the valley, you know, goes through a farm gate and then pours into a ditch next to a field and just gets flooded onto the field. Rice is a very intensive water crop. It requires 4 inches of standing water just on top of the soil. And so Fritz Durst's argument is that in their district, water that flows off of one field, like excess water, is repumped onto another field. And so they reuse about 40% of the water. So they have been less concerned with how much water any individual farmer uses and more concerned with the whole system. That's what he means when he says it doesn't fit. And then, you know, some people have been saying, hey, why are we farming rice in California in a drought? And, you know, Fritz Durst says that the soil that he's farming is this very heavy clay, which he described as a blessing and a curse. And the blessing is that if you want to farm rice, the water will just sit on top of the clay and not sink into the soil. But the curse is that it's hard to farm other crops there. So he doesn't think that with these new rules he's going to switch to some less thirsty crop. He just said that if his water gets really expensive, he might try farming, say, specialty rice.
Is part of this a function of just how much political clout agricultural interests have had in the state of California traditionally?
I think so. Urban water districts have had to turn in the kind of water management plans that the agricultural ones are now being required to for many years. And so in some ways, California is now trying to say that both residents and farmers should now be charged for how much water they use and that that will drive conservation.
And the takeaway here, and it's really among the most surprising details, is that you know, these laws here aren't even quotas. They're just about measuring and monitoring what's going on. And the farmers are up in arms, even though nothing in these laws would say that we're going to restrict the water usage, right?
That's an excellent point. I mean, this is just supposed to encourage people to use less. No one's saying, you know, you have to grow this crop or use this kind of irrigation system. But they still aren't being complied with, and people are still objecting to them. Even people that are complying with them are complaining about it.
In the middle of a California drought emergency.
That's right.
Catherine Miskowski is a senior reporter covering food and water at the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thanks so much, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
Some reaction now to our spirited interview with journalist Glenn Greenwald. Wayne says this on Facebook, doesn't dare live in the USA because he knows he'd be thrown in jail too. No matter what, you do not steal from your employer. Anna says his moral obligation was with the American people. He chose to do what was morally correct. You can be a part of this discussion by posting on our Facebook page at facebook.com/thetakeaway or go to thetakeaway.org.